Good morning. Good to see all of you this morning.
Amen.
If you will, open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. If after I read this passage you feel like we're in the same place, then you have deducted correctly. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scriptures, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which are be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which had not attained mercy, but now have attained mercy." And let's pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful for the incorruptible word. We're thankful for the word of God that endures forever. We're thankful also for your son who is called the word of life, and that came flesh and dwelt among us and went to the cross of Calvary and died in our place. We're thankful for that. We're thankful for all the grace that you have given to us through your son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're thankful for your mercies and your abundant blessings. And we give you glory and praise in the name which is above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so last week, quick review, we went over that Peter, as an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, as a commercial fisherman, had an experience with the Lord, had walked with the Lord, had become an apostle, and he is giving us insights from that experience with Christ and from the revelation of Christ himself that parallels the insights and the revelation that Paul the apostle himself had gotten. And there's no contradiction in the doctrine of Peter and Paul. They're both teaching the same thing. And he said, just as Jesus said to Nicodemus, ye must be born again.
Yeah.
And we went through last week explaining this is the difference between religion, because religions of the world, even some called Christian religions of the world, have the idea that a sinner can somehow merit entrance into heaven, that they can somehow earn their right to get into heaven, and this is called work salvation. But when you get to this doctrine that you must be born again, it excludes works.
That's right.
Because this is a miracle of God. Life is a miracle of God. It's a working of God. Now, it is a mystery in the sense that we spread the seed, which is the word of God, and it falls on our heart, and when it's mixed with faith, life is produced, and we can't really explain how that is outside the miracle hand of God, the miracle working of God. Just as a seed than a woman that produces life physically, so it is spiritually. And we notice that because it is an eternal work of God, you can't lose that salvation. Because it was God that gave the life, and it's God that grows the life, and it's God that sustains the life. He that is Alpha, he's also Omega. He is the beginning, he's also the end. And what he begins, he completes. He's not going to leave an unfinished work. And we say that when we were saved, it was a work of God. It wasn't our accomplishments, and that's why the Bible says it's by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. But there is a problem among fundamentalists, those that believe this gospel, that salvation is by grace through faith without works, that they harp on the idea of no works, that they come to the place mistakenly that you can tell a Christian it's not of works, that somehow salvation is just a little ticket that you got to heaven and then you can live any way you like, but because you got this little ticket, everything's going to be all right. Well, I think that's a mistaken notion of the gospel. I think the gospel is transforming. It changes people's life. It's a work of God. It's a new creation within us. It's Christ in us. It's the Holy Spirit in us. It's God in us. All that God is in us. And that ought to manifest itself.
Amen.
And some people object to that. They say, no, it's called, the doctrine is actually called easy believism. And they counter that what we preach is lordship salvation. Well, I think they're mistaken on both accounts. Jesus Christ is always Lord, and there's no salvation outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. So yes, salvation is easy if you understand that Christ did everything for us and that we can believe on Him. But like I said, and I'm going to emphasize again, it is a miracle of God that changes people's lives. And frankly speaking, if your life is not changed at all, I wouldn't go around telling people that you're saved.
Right.
Not that you can change your life in order to be saved, but because you are saved, your life changes. And there's a big difference in that order. Yeah. It's a matter of life and death, really. It's a matter of salvation or not. You cannot be saved by your works. And the reason is you are of corruptible seed. You have to be born again of incorruptible seed, and that only comes from God. And the things that you do from being a child of Adam has an effect on your works. They're contaminated. God's not going to receive them. Death cannot get life. And so God comes into us and He produces good works. And I'm going to show you that in Ephesians just as a reminder. Because Peter's going to pick up this same idea in his teaching. He's not going to use the same words, but the same idea or the same doctrine is being taught. I quoted this verse already, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace ye are saved. Now that's a tremendous statement because some religionists would say you cannot say you are saved. You can say you might be saved, or you can say you hope to be saved, or you can say I have intentions of being saved. But religionists can't allow you to say you are saved. Why? Because they teach that you have to work for salvation, and you have no way idea whether your works are going to be sufficient to get you into heaven, and so you have to wait to, you know, the judgment, and then God's going to figure it out whether your good works outweigh your bad. Well, that is a false doctrine. It's not found in the scriptures. The Bible says you are saved. Through what? Faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works. I don't know how you can make it any plainer than this. Not of works. Why? Lest any man should boast. And here is the problem. If a person could get to heaven, and I don't mean to confuse you by the word heaven, to the kingdom of God, to the presence of God, to eternal salvation, however, whatever paradise, whatever terminology you want to use, to get into the presence of God, to live eternally after death, they would say, if you are working for your salvation, then it would be concluded that if you got into heaven, that there would be boasting.
Yeah.
Hey, I made it and you didn't. Or you made it and I didn't. But all the boasting and all the praise and all the pictures of the Bible that we get in the scriptures, these little windows that we see of glory land, all the praise is directed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And even those crowns that the apostles get and the brethren got for their efforts and in Christ and their serving in Christ, they cast them before His feet and say, glory to the Lamb. He's worthy of praise and honor. And so it says here, not of works, lest any man should boast. There's not one of us that have ever kept the law. Not as interpreted by the Lord Jesus Christ. You could go around and say you never committed adultery, but can you say you never lusted after a woman? You could go around and say, well, I've never committed murder, but can you say honestly before God, as some people say, as God is my witness, can you say that you never hated your brother or never had hatred in your heart? Because the law is not just the outward. There has to be something from the inward. It's not good enough just to say, I haven't murdered anybody, but if you're harboring hatred in your heart, you're a murderer. So what does it say here? After all of this, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are, notice, not we will be, we are his workmanship, created in Christ unto what? Unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. Yes, we should walk in them. And this is what Peter is saying, and now we'll go back to our text. After he says that we are being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, chapter 2, verse 1, he says, wherefore, because we are born again by this incorruptible seed, what should we do? We should lay aside malice, guile, hypocrisies, envies, and evil speakings. And that's basically what we went over last week. We got to lay aside those things. It's a constant battle, and I gave you the example. You get up in the morning, you choose what type of clothing you're going to wear. The Bible says, put off that old man, put off the old Adam, put off the old nature, and put on the new man, which is Christ. Don't walk in the flesh, walk in the Spirit. The best example, and I've gave this on our Monday night class that I've ever seen of this concept of these two natures, when we were meeting in Aguas Calientes in, I think it's Parque San Marcos, if I remember right. And when we were meeting in that park, there were these big, huge trees that had been around for a long time, and one of them was dead. This tree, have you ever seen a dead tree? This was dead. It was still standing, but it was obviously dead. All the other ones had life. You could see the branches were in the leaves, and they were full of greenery, and they were beautiful trees, but this one was just dead. But on that tree, there was a hole, a big hole, like a cave inside of this big, huge tree. And inside of that tree was a living tree growing. That was amazing. You could look in that little cave or little hole into this trunk of this tree, and you could see it was all hollowed out, it was dead, but inside was this living tree growing. That has been the best illustration if I can give of us, is living life is inside of us. And if we could just peel back this old dead man, this old nature, this old flesh, this corruptible flesh, if we just peel it back, we could see there's a living tree in us.
Amen.
There's a living branch. And our life as Christians is to put off that old man so that people can see Christ in us.
Amen.
And this is what Peter's saying, put these things aside. Lay aside malice. Lay aside all guile. Lay aside hypocrisies. Lay aside envies. Lay aside evil speakings. Did you ever notice when the Bible talks about putting away a sins, it rarely talks about put away, I'm not saying it never talks about it, but I'm saying the emphasis is a little bit different than we do. Drinking, smoking, yeah, going to the bars or going to movies. It doesn't talk about these things. Rarely, I should say. But it talks about things of greater importance. Malice, guile, hypocrisies. Yeah. Thank you for that. Amen, sister. Go ahead and preach it, man. Come right up here. You can take over here. Yeah. It's a heart issue. And that is the problem with religionists. They want to paint the outside, but they forget God's looking on the heart.
Amen.
Did you know you could stand and pray and be in sin?
Your very
act of sin, of praying is sin in the eyes of God. It's an abomination. Why? You're doing it to be seen of men and not to be heard of God. Did you know that you can give great sums of money? It's a sacrifice to give away your money. For some of us, it's more a sacrifice than others, granted. But it is a sacrifice to give away money. And when you stand there and give away money, that sacrifice that you're giving can be an abomination in the eyes of God. Because you're tooting your horn and you're bragging about what you're doing, and you're doing it to get your name on a placard somewhere instead of doing it for the glory of God. And that's why Jesus says that widow gave more than all them rich people did.
Right.
Yeah. So, and as the sister said so ably, it's a heart issue. And Peter says, just as Paul, you got to deal with that heart and put off that old man and dress yourself in Christ Jesus. That's what he's saying. And then what he says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So if the metaphor is we're born again, and the example is it's like a little child. We have some ladies here. They're going to have some little children pretty quick. Yeah. That newborn child needs what? It needs milk. It needs somebody to take care of it. It cannot function on its own. Yeah. It's living, but it requires assistance. And the same thing, the people that recently get saved, they're newborn babes. And Peter here says, as newborn babes, they should desire the sincere milk of the word. That baby will cry because it wants mama to come feed him. Right? And Christians, if they're new Christians, they ought to desire the sincere milk of the word. Let's look at some places here. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. This is a Bible study, so Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now we can understand perfectly, somebody that got saved last week is probably not going to understand the doctrines fully in the scriptures. Does that make sense? Somebody that's been recently saved, probably not going to understand a lot of things in the Bible. I remember being recently saved and going to a Christian high school. And in the Christian high school, we were supposed to be studying the book of Romans. Well, I had never read the Bible in my life. And when they told me turn to the book of Romans, I had no idea what they were talking about. And then I figured out, well, the Bible's got lots of little books in it. So there's 66 books. And I started figuring out things slowly. But I was like a newborn babe. I was ignorant of a lot of things, and I was dependent upon others. Well, one thing happened. The first week I was in that Christian high school, on that Friday, they had a test. And around comes this test, and then the last question was, please, I don't remember the verse, so I'm too old to remember, that's too far gone, but I remember the example was, please cite this verse, whatever the verse, let's just say John 3:16. So I got my Bible out, and I'm starting to look in the Bible for John 3:16. Of course, I went to the beginning, I tried to find the index so I could get the John, and all of my classmates, cheater! Cheater! I didn't know what they were saying. What are you calling me a cheater for? You're supposed to do it by memory. By memory? How am I supposed to know what that verse says? I don't have any idea what that verse says. No, you're supposed to quote the verse by memory. That was the idea. And I was never one as a student to leave an answer blank. I was going to put something in the answer. So if I had to quote it, I said, all right, God, I don't remember what I said, but it was probably pretty hilarious from the reaction, you know. God, you know, he created something and he did this and he did that. And then, to my utter astonishment, you did not turn your paper into the teacher to grade. You gave it to your classmate to grade. And so my classmates are grading this as they're going through, and they got to my verse that I had to quote by memory without the aid of the Bible. And I had no idea what it was, but I just made something up, you know, God overcame or whatever. And they were laughing. They thought that was the funniest thing in the world. What kind of John 3:16, what are you talking about? God kicked the devil out of heaven. What are you talking about? Well, I was determined after that not to be a babe anymore. And then I started really reading the Bible and I began growing. It was amazing the difference. The first 6 months of my Christianity, I was really a babe. I was completely ignorant. When I finally did start reading the Bible, I started in the New Testament, but they had all these characters they were talking about. Abraham and David, and they were talking about, I didn't know who these people were. Who are these people? But later on, when I came to Texas, I don't think that had anything to do with it, but I met a believer that had Bible studies and encouraged me to begin reading the Bible. And then when I read the entire Bible and I started going back to the Old Testament, oh, this is the Abraham. Oh, this is David. Oh, this is Elijah. You begin putting the things together. What's happening? You begin to grow. And one of the greatest impediments to growth is the lack of milk. The lack of, what does it say here, the sincere milk of the Word of God. Christians do not grow if they do not read the Bible.
Right.
It's great that you come to church, but you will not grow if you do not take the Bible and begin reading it for yourselves. And Peter is saying here, you ought to, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may what? Grow thereby. And Paul says, you're unskillful in the word of righteousness. Yes, as a newborn Christian, you know, I was confused by the Jehovah's Witnesses. I was confused by the various sects that are out there knocking on your door. It made no sense to me. I was getting confused. Why? Because I was still a babe. Yeah. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1, Paul says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you are not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Wow. How about that for a discernment or a judgment on your state in Christianity? It seems like there's a lot of Christians running around that Paul would consider still babes in Christ. You still haven't figured out it's not about Paul. It's not about Peter. It's not about Apollos. It's about Christ.
Amen.
And there are very physically aged Christians and denominations that, if I understand this text correctly, they're still babes, if they're babes at all, and if they're Christians at all. Why? Because their emphasis is on a denomination instead of Christ. Their emphasis is on a preacher, an apostle, the name of an apostle, instead of Christ. Wow, Peter's saying, you know, we ought to grow up.
Amen.
We ought to put away these envyings. And a lot of these denominations are a lot about envy. Oh, they're bigger, they're better, they're this and they're that. And there's a lot of carnality going on in Christendom that should not go on. Let's put it that way. And you can understand babes in Christ would say, well, you know, he led me to the Lord. Well, good. That's great. That's good. You can understand that's a babe. I'm dependent upon him because he gave me the word and he's teaching me. Yes, you can understand that. But somewhere along the line, you ought to learn it's all about Christ. And if you haven't learned that yet, you're still a babe in Christ. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
We really ought to grow up. I wish I would grow up. I wish you would grow up. I wish we would grow up. And we, as believers that have seen this, we need to be careful that we don't start emphasizing, yeah, we're of Christ. They ain't. Because that's the same error, isn't it?
Yeah.
that boasting, that pride that enters us, we're better than them. We ought not to be comparing ourselves amongst them.
Right. Amen.
We ought to be looking in the mirror of the Word of God and say, I got some growing up to
Amen.
Do.
Amen.
Yeah. It's not a competition.
Amen.
Christians are not our enemies.
Right.
Boy, that took a while to learn.
Yeah.
Yeah. What church do you go to? And then I'm checking off to see if I can talk to you or not, you know? Or, oh, you're a Baptist? I used to be a Baptist. We had some conversation about that, Lindell, yeah. Both of us were guilty. I didn't mean to put you on the spot, Lindell. I've been there. Have you?
Yeah, amen.
Somebody goes to a different denominational church than you do, and you're sort of, yeah. Nah, that's for you, but we're on high ground over here. Yeah. Isn't that pride?
Yeah, amen.
Do you think God is happy with that kind of attitude? I think if I understand the scriptures, we ought to be looking at all the brethren and looking for Christ in them and not looking at the outward. I think the colloquial way is you don't judge a book by its cover. We ought to be finding out, hey, is Christ in you? What are your doctrines? And I think Christians were probably all guilty of that.
Right.
We try to pigeonhole people and try to figure out where are they in their walk with Christ. And that's what we ought to be doing. And that's what Peter's saying here. Desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. There is spiritual food. Jesus himself said, he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, you know what I know? I know we eat bread 3 times a day. Bread being synonymous with eating food. Physical food. Yeah? Some of us eat more than that.
Yeah.
Yeah?
And I found that working from home, it tends to grow. Man, you're just so close to the kitchen.
Yes.
Oh, man, she's got some peanuts in there. I'm going to go get me some peanuts. Oh, man, she's got some chips in there. I'm going to go get me some chips. Oh, I heard there's ice cream in there. I'm going to go get some ice cream. And that's before lunch. Isn't it amazing how we will, every time our body has a craving, that we will fulfill that craving?
Right.
What if we turn that around every time the Spirit of God had a craving that we would fulfill that craving?
Amen.
What if we turn that around? Do you think we would have a more mature Christian life?
Amen.
I think that our lives are filled with immaturity because we are not feeding the Spirit. He says in Psalm 119, 103, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Do you like honey?
Yeah.
I grew up with honey and peanut butter. Put honey and peanut butter. I don't know why that is, but you know, you might be not like that, but honey and peanut butter. Honey and peanut butter. It was just good stuff. Had a little bear honeycomb thing. Little bear on there, and you squeeze it out, and you put that honey on that toast of that bread, and you ate it. It was good. You know what he says? He says the word of God is good. It might not come out of a bottle. It comes out of a paper book. But if you would just read it, you would find out how sweet it is. And he says also, we just read that text in Hebrews, he says, strong meat belongs unto them full of age. Yeah? And that's amazing, because a Christian could be a Christian for a long time, but still a babe. And then a Christian could be saved for just a very short time, and somehow they've matured. It seems to me it has to do with the intake of the scriptures.
Amen.
Some people, the only scriptures they get are Sunday mornings. Wow. What would that be like if the only time you ate was Sundays? I'm going to eat once a week. Do you think you'd be able to go to work after a while? I think you'd be very weak and immature. You'd just, you wouldn't grow at all. Yeah. What if we fed our children just once a week? I think that would be considered child abuse probably, right? Well, brethren, I think that we ought to get into the Word of God and try to start reading it. Did you ever grow up when you were young and you didn't like certain foods and then you grew up and all of a sudden, boy, this is really good. Yeah? I was not a salad eater when I was young. I did not. I just thought, this is rabbit food, I'm not eating it. I couldn't tell my mother it was rabbit food because I'd get smacked upside the head. That was back in the day. You didn't tell your mother things like that. But all of a sudden now I like salads. I'm a charter member of Jason's Deli, man. I go there all the time because they got salads. I like it. Well, I can remember reading the Bible and certain parts of it, man, I'm just scratching my head thinking, what in the world? And then later on, wow, look at all this stuff in here, man. They got jalapenos, they got yellow peppers and red peppers, and they got cheese, and they got, I mean, all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
It comes from maturity. I would encourage you to read your Bibles. Now, practically speaking, what I would suggest is either get you one of them one-year Bibles where it's already divided out, and then just follow that along, and you'll get through the Bible in 1 year. If you will read, you're not going to believe this, just 3.5 chapters. That's 1, 2, 3. That's at most 2 pages. If you will read 2 pages every day, you will get through the whole Bible in 1 year. And if you will read 4 pages, you'll get through the whole Bible in half a year. Yeah? I'm not going to make the math problem any harder than that. We're going to stop right there. What I'm saying is, if you will just be disciplined enough, and as Peter says here, if you would desire that, if you would covet that, if you would wish for that, if you would do that, if you would be disciplined enough just to read those 2 or 3 pages a day, and you got through the whole Bible by yourself reading, your maturity would say, wow, look at me, I'm growing up. You'd be like Jackson. You're just, one day you're here, and the next day you're up there. Sorry, Jackson, I wasn't. But there is a vast difference between a Christian that just goes to church and a Christian that reads the Bible and goes to church. He says, desire the sincere milk of the word. Jesus said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Paul said, covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. There are some things that we ought to covet. We ought to covet spiritual things instead of fleshly things. Paul also said, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. So just as Paul was saying you ought to desire, so did Peter. And just as Peter said, so did Paul. They were united in this doctrine of Christ. Look in Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 9. Whom shall we teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. Yeah, the gospel is a great thing.
Amen.
It's a wonderful thing. But did you know doctrine is important? And you gotta go past just milk. You gotta start eating some of them carrots. And peas. Ooh, peas.
Brisket,
there we go. Let's go over there. There we go. Brisket, let's get onto the brisket. That's what I'm liking. Now you're talking.
Yeah.
Or frijoles charros. There we go. Or pozole. Yeah, there we go. Yeah. Pork chops and potatoes and corn on the cob. Let's have a meal.
Yes, sir.
Get in the Word of God. 2 Peter chapter 3 and 18, he says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Do you want to go and grow in grace? Get to know the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
How are you going to get to know anybody? By talking to them. And listening to them.
Yes.
Well, here's the Lord talking to us. He's given us word, and then we can talk to Him in prayer. I don't want to say I would bet. I would conclude that if you would listen to the Word of God by reading it and praying, that your maturity level would leaps and bounds. Ephesians chapter 4, Paul says it this way in verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. You know, not everybody that calls themselves a Christian is a Christian. Not everyone that calls himself a minister of the gospel is a minister of the gospel. Did you know that not everything on the internet is true? Newsflash. Did you know that not everything on the television is true? Newsflash. A lot of deception in the world. Do you think deception stops at the doors of the church? Deception creeps in. And there's a lot of deception in quote unquote Christianity. People professing to be Christians and they're not. And people are carried away with winds of doctrine. Not everyone that carries a Bible in their hand believes the Bible.
That's right.
This is a shame, of course. Yes, this is unbelievable. It's a shame. It's a disgrace. Yes. But you and I need to be careful. Newborn babes are very weak and they have no way to defend themselves. They are dependent upon those that are mature to defend them. And it is required in the church that men and women become mature or grown in growing in grace and understanding the doctrines so that they can defend the doctrines of Christ. And you can't do that if you don't know the Bible. Some practical things. There's some people, they spend a lot of time talking about, okay, this particular religion, here's what they teach, and they're wrong here. And then the next week they'll talk about the Mormons or the Jehovah's Witnesses or Scientology, and they'll just keep on going through the list. Let me give you a better way. And I learned this from reading about the Secret Service. The Secret Service not only protects the president and protects dignitaries, but the Secret Service is also in the business of protecting our currency, which is, you know, they print, what is it called? Counterfeit dollars. When the Secret Service studies on how to recognize counterfeit dollars, they do not study counterfeits. Do you know what they study? The real thing. They are so acquainted with the real thing that when the counterfeit shows up, they immediately know that's not right. And when you start studying the real thing, the Bible, and somebody comes along and says, the Bible says, and you've read through the Bible multiple times, and you're scratching your head, where does it say that? I don't recall. Can you tell me where it says that? It's kind of like Brother Joe down in Mexico. I probably told you this story before. He says, the Bible never talks about purgatory. And a lady says, where in the Bible does it not talk about purgatory? So Brother Joe was quick on his toes. He said, doesn't talk about here. He just starts thumbing through it. What I'm saying is, if you get to know the Bible and you get to know the Lord Jesus Christ, then when somebody comes along and preaches another Christ, and you're going to say, that's not my Christ. That's not my Bible. Why? Because you've grown up and you've matured and you know what is true and what is false. This is just practical advice. Get into the Bible. Now, it was very hard when I first started going out and preaching because I hadn't gotten through the Bible yet. And people would say, what about this and what about that? And boy, they won the argument, let's say. They won the encounter. But you know what I did? I went home.
Yeah.
Boy, I was ready for them next time. I had all my notes in the Bible. What verses to deal with. Yeah. We ought to be mature Christians, is what Peter is saying. First Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 20. Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. Let's understand the doctrines of Christ. Let's get to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And then if we'll turn back over in Peter, he says something very interesting, and I will close out with this. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious.
Amen.
Have you taken a taste of the Lord?
Amen.
I was reading a story the other day about a Christian was debating an atheist. And they're going back and forth, and the atheist, you know, they're going talking about inductive reasoning and deductive reasoning and subjective arguments and objective arguments. And the Christian, he realized this debate is going nowhere fast. So, you know how debates go, you get 10 minutes and then there's a rebuttal and then there's questioning and then you get 10 minutes and then it's et cetera. So it was his turn to get up his 10 minutes, and they'd already gone through a portion of the debate. He had had 10 more, he got 10 more minutes, but he had already realized we're not getting nowhere fast on this. So he came up with an orange. This is his 10 minutes. He came up to the pulpit or the stand where he was speaking, his 10 minutes, and he got an orange. And he just started peeling it. And just as you got this nervous laughter, what is he doing? He's not talking. And there was silence, and he's just peeling it. And the longer he peeled it, the clock is ticking. You only get 10 minutes in a formal debate. The clock is ticking. He's going through there, and he got it all peeled out. Then he broke it open, and you could imagine the orange or the juice is popping up, and then he got him a little first piece in him. And he got the second piece. And the clock is still ticking. And people are starting to get nervous, and they're starting to say, hey, what are you going to do with your time? And he just kept on eating the orange. And he got done with the old orange, and he had about a minute left. And he asked his antagonist. He asked him, he says, what did that orange taste like? He says, how am I supposed to know? I've never tasted it. He says, exactly. You don't know the Lord because you never tasted him.
Amen.
And he sat down. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Have you tasted the Lord?
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Have you perceived that the Lord is good? Have you experienced that the Lord is good?
Yes.
You, when you're talking to a blind man and describing the colors of a rainbow, it can be very difficult. It doesn't mean that you haven't experienced the colors of a rainbow. It just means they're in darkness. And it's very hard to communicate. Unless God opens their eyes, they're going to be blind.
Yeah, amen.
So Peter says here, yeah, if so be that you've tasted. Have you tasted? If you've tasted, then you ought to begin growing. You ought to desire the sincere miracle of the Word. You ought to desire the Word of God. There ought to be some growth in you. Yeah? Boy, you taste some things, you want to go back and eat some more, don't you?
Yeah, amen.
Yeah? All right. Well, we're going to take a break for about 5 minutes, and then we'll have the preaching hour. The Lord bless you.